What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to the one and only goingfor2.com NFL sports betting show. Week 10 is in the books, and what else is new? It was another profitable one for us here at the show, up $190 last week. It was the worst week we've had on this show. We've definitely had some much better weeks, but we were still almost able to profit $200. We had $50 on the Giants plus 3.5. They won outright. We had a tease that didn't go so hot. We had a couple ones tripped us up in that one. The over under in the Jets game, the Bills just blew them out. So that teaser was done by 3 o'clock. But thank God the Rams and Chargers, our Los Angeles teams parlay, saved the day, won us $445. So that brought our total up to $190 on the week, which brings our season-long total up to $6,265 on the year. We've just been on a huge hot streak. Every week we've profited and made money every single week. We've had this podcast 8 straight weeks. So hopefully we can take care of business in week 11 and continue on our streak. So with me today, fellow goingfor2.com contributor, a writer here at goingfor2.com, Eric Duran is with me to help me break down the slate. Eric, what is going on tonight, my man?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Just enjoying some good basketball tonight on ESPN. The Timberwolves pulled out a pretty good game over the New Orleans Pelicans, and now we got Lakers and Trailblazers on the TV. But we're here to talk about football, so let's get into it.
Absolutely. Were the Timberwolves on ESPN tonight?
Yes.
Oof, yikes. That's my team, unfortunately.
And they actually look pretty good without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I'm rooting against them, and I want them to lose games so they can get Zion Williamson or Reddish or Barrett in the draft, but it looks like they're going the other way. They're going to try and make the playoffs. So anyway, we are here to talk about some football. It is week 11 in the NFL. Week 10 is, of course, come and gone. How did week 10 go for you, Eric, from a betting perspective?
Week 10 went pretty good for me. I put $100 on the Rams-Seahawks game through the bookie I use. Early in the day, the Rams were plus 11. So I immediately jumped on that. I know they're a good team. I know they're at home, but the way Seattle's playing, even if they lose, they're not getting beat by 11. And since I'm a Raiders fan and I follow the team pretty close, and I think it was my bookie had them at a plus 9.5, I took the LA Chargers in the points because I just don't see my team, you know, hanging with that, you know, a caliber team of the Chargers like that and staying within 10. And I came out on winning end on both sides, so I did pretty good.
Awesome, man. That's exactly what we had in a parlay last week. For those of you guys who caught our show, we had the Rams and Chargers in a parlay, both of them. The Rams had me sweating a little bit. They barely snuck out a W against Seattle, but the Raiders just had no business being in the game. They scored like 6 points, I think. So Chargers helped us make some money. They've been doing really well all season and helping us cash in quite a bit. So yeah, it sounds like it was a great week for you. It was another profitable one for us. So we're going to try and repeat that in week 11 here. So me and Eric going to play a little guess the lines week 11. So let's jump right in, man. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it, man. Several bye weeks, 6 bye weeks this week, and I'm kind of bummed at several of them. A lot of teams I like to bet on, and a lot of teams I like to bet against. We have a lot of trash teams here. Buffalo is on a bye. We've made a lot of money betting against them this year. The Jets are on a bye. Miami's on a bye. The Niners are on a bye. Cleveland is on a bye. And then the Patriots as well, coming off the loss to the Titans, are also on a bye. So 6 bye weeks, don't have to worry about any of those games. So we are going to jump right into the first game on the noon slate. We have the 6-2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Jaguars of Jacksonville, who are 3-6. It is in Jacksonville, so yeah, let's break this game down a little bit. I mean, these teams have matched up several times in the last several years, and Jacksonville has really had Pittsburgh's number. I mean, last year they really upset them in week six. Nobody saw that game coming, Jacksonville. That's when we really saw that they were actually a force in the AFC last year. They beat them by, I believe, 20 points, something like that. And then they, of course, beat them in the divisional round last year to make it to the AFC Championship game. So Jacksonville has struggled this year. They are 3-6, and the playoffs are out of question for them, basically. So it is Pittsburgh on the road. I said Pittsburgh by 6 points was my guess. What about you, Eric?
I guess we're on the same page here because I also have the Steelers 6. Pittsburgh is just rolling right now. I think with the Le'Veon Bell situation, they've come together as a team, and they're on a mission to prove that one player does not dictate how a team will finish. And I think Pittsburgh has the kind of momentum that can carry them deep into the playoffs. And it looks like we both think that way because we both have them +6 on the road.
Yeah, well said, well said. It is in Vegas right now. Kind of a weird number, but is Pittsburgh by 5.5. So you and I were very close there. Basically got it on the head. So 5.5 is where Pittsburgh, they see him winning by almost a touchdown. So this game, you know, Pittsburgh's been on a hot streak. They've won 5 straight. And, you know, when teams, they started off pretty shaky in to start the year. When teams like, I think, the Chargers and Houston, all these teams have won like 5 or 6 games straight. And when that happens, I mean, they have to drop one of these games to somebody. So this might be the game to do it. I think Jacksonville plays them really well. I think Jacksonville can upset them and win this game. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if Jacksonville proved last year that on paper, they're a really great team. But if you have been following them this week, I think Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro cornerback, released a statement pretty much saying, you know, when it's time to hit free agency, I'm gone. And, you know, a player with that kind of attitude and a team that's already in disarray, I just think there's a cancerous viral in that locker room, in that organization. And they remind me of the Raiders of 2 years ago that went 12-4 and looked like this, you know, world-beating team until Derek Carr got hurt. And now you're seeing all their flaws, their characteristic flaws. And if Blake Bortles doesn't come to play, there's no way in hell they beat Pittsburgh. So, like you said, Pittsburgh's hot. You know, teams get hot, and there has to be a game where they lose. But I don't think this is it. I just don't think Jacksonville is that same team that they were last year. And all their flaws are starting to show.
Very well said, Eric. I couldn't agree more. I thought last year Jacksonville was kind of a fluke. I mean, we saw Watson get hurt in their division. Andrew Luck didn't play all year. Very easy wins against both those teams for them. And then the Titans were kind of shaky as well. So yeah, I thought last year for Jacksonville was everything sort of went right, and yet they still missed an opportunity to make it to a Super Bowl. So yeah, I just 3-6 for Jacksonville this year. Very disappointing. I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to be another contender this year. That is clearly not the case. But one thing I want to talk about before we make any bets in this game. So Le'Veon Bell, I don't think I've seen a player handle a situation worse in any sport ever than what Bell has done right now. I mean, he just announced he's done for the year. He can't hit the market or whatever and isn't able to play this year. So he just lost $14.5 million, and then everybody in Pittsburgh hates him. All his teammates hate him. Bud Dupree stole his shoes out of his locker a couple days ago. Everybody in Pittsburgh hates him. He is now just a villain in the city of Pittsburgh and around the NFL. People are calling for his head and saying what he's doing is lame. And so, I mean, he really just played the situation so poorly. James Conner is amazing, and, you know, now we see that, you know, maybe having a great running back doesn't matter because Connor was a 5th-round pick and he's having basically as good a season as Bell ever had in Pittsburgh. So he just – I want to play poker with Le'Veon Bell because he just fucked the situation up. I mean, it's just been a catastrophe.
But look at it this way. You have the Colin Kaepernick situation where, you know, players are behind him, you know, take a knee, fight for injustice, do this, do that. And then Le'Veon Bell – who, as an American, has rights, is fighting for his rights to want a long-term contract, to want a long-term stability. And when he you know, takes his pride out of the way and fights for his rights that he's earned, that he's proven on the field he can get the job done, now people want to kick him while he's down. So if, you know, if the NFL is going to, you know, players are going to back Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, and I know that's a bigger cause, but what Le'Veon Bell is doing is he's fighting for them. Like, this is why Khalil Mack was going to do the same thing in Oakland. This is why they shipped him off. They've seen this coming. But Le'Veon Bell is fighting for the player's future. You know what I mean? Especially at a position where he might have 3 or 4 years left, and he understands that, and he wants to get paid. So I think he did what was best for him. It might not have been best for the team, but the NFL has proven, hey, when you're not getting the job done, they'll kick you to the curb right away, and there's no guaranteed money. And he knows that. And I don't get why the players don't see that.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you saw Earl Thomas, who was in the last year of his deal. He got hurt and then flicked off the Seattle sidelines. So I get it, man. I absolutely understand what he's doing. But at the same time, I mean, $14 million for 1 year, and he would still, I mean, barring that he doesn't get hurt in long term. And, you know, he tweeted out after that Earl Thomas injury. He was like, you know, see, guys, this is why I'm holding out, so something like this doesn't happen to me, because Earl Thomas isn't going to get a big contract now. But I get it. I really
do. Let's face it. If Pittsburgh was 3-6 and James Conner was just the average running back, the tables would be turned. The only reason why Pittsburgh looks good in this situation is because Big Ben and the offense has woken up, and James Conner is just one of the biggest surprises of the NFL season.
Very true, very true. So yeah, both of these teams on opposite ends here basically have the exact opposite records. The over-under in this game is 47.5. Pittsburgh is -300 for the victory. Jackson +210. Any bets stick out to you in this game? For me, just right off the bat, classic stay-away game. Jacksonville has had Pittsburgh's number the last several years. I don't want to touch Pittsburgh in a teaser or anything. I think there's a distinct possibility that they could lose this game. What do you think?
I agree with you. I like the over underline of 47.5. This is easily, if Jacksonville's defense comes to play, this is easily a 24-21 type of game, 21-17 type of game. So obviously, you know, you're under the 47 there. I think that would be the best part of the whole game is the over-under, taking the under.
Could not agree more. I really like that pick. You know, I may later in the week decide to throw some money on that because, again, I mean, Jacksonville, can they even put up like 10 points? I mean, they've just been terrible on offense. Blake Bortles has been just abysmal this whole year. And then Pittsburgh, if they get shut down, this could be maybe even a 21-10 sort of game. So I really like that pick for you. It sounds like you're riding the under in this one.
Yes, I would definitely take the under. If anyone's listening, I think the under in this game is very attractive.
Absolutely. The next game on our slate, 2-6-3 teams, NFC versus AFC. We have the Houston Texans taking on the Washington Redskins in D.C. So Washington has really, to me, I mean, the Bears are also 6-3, but Washington has just been such a surprise to me this year. I did not see them being good. I can't believe they're 6-3. They started off 5-2, and it was probably the quietest 5-2 we've seen in recent years. It's just nobody's been talking about them. They're a very boring team. They got Alex Smith there and Adrian Peterson.
It just reminds you of Alex Smith's old Kansas City teams. You don't know what they're going to do, and then all of a sudden they're 10-3, 11-3. They're leading the division, and Alex Smith is still a game manager, even though he's in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, for sure. And then Houston on the other side, they started off 0-3, but they've won 6 straight. So, like I said, with Pittsburgh and then the Chargers, I think have won 6 straight. I mean, Houston's 6 straight games is a lot in the NFL, and I think that they are bound to lose one, regress towards the mean here. So I think in this one, I think it's this game. But for me, the spread pick, in my opinion, I said Houston by 1 point on the road.
I had a Houston -3.
split the difference, you and me. It is Houston by 2 points, so you and I both off by a point, but sort of have the same idea. Yeah, Houston is favored on the road, so Washington is a 6-3 home dog in this one. You know, listeners of my podcast, they know how much I will not bet a Washington Redskins game. They are too strange of a team for me. I just don't know what we're going to see week to week. They'll look great 1 week, then they'll get blown out by the Falcons at home. Then they'll lose to the Colts, but yet beat the Packers. Just a strange team. I don't have a good read on them at all. So I'm staying away from this game, but anything in this one you like?
What do you have the over-under at?
I'm seeing 42.5 for an over-under.
Over-under. Well, both teams when they're on, they both have good defensive teams. This is another one of those games where, you know, it's 21-17, 20-10, you know, 20-13. I won a couple weeks ago taking the Texans when they came to Denver. Denver was a 1-point favorite, or Texans were a 1-point favorite, and they ended up winning by 2. But like you said, with Washington and with the Texans being on a 6-game winning streak and being on the road, I would stay away from the point spread. But this is another game that the over-under in favor of the under looks really good to me on paper.
The 42.5, it's, to me, that sounds like they hit it right on the head. Houston, they can put up points in a hurry, but you know, they also have a good D. And then Washington, if Adrian Peterson's running the ball well, they can put up points in a hurry as well. So I don't really know what to think about that. Nothing for me to make a bet on. The money lines for this game, Houston -130, and then Washington -105 for a victory. So a pretty even matchup in Vegas's mind. I've said it so many times on this podcast, I can't get a gauge on the Redskins. I don't know what we're going to see. I really don't think they're good enough to be 6-3. I don't know how we got here. I just really don't get how they're a lock for the playoffs almost. If they win two more games, I just don't know what we're going to see. So anything, you sounds like you kind of like the under in this one, but nothing on the spread.
Nothing on the spread, nothing on the money line. If I had to bet, I would bet under. Just because Washington, they can't put up a lot of points, but even, I mean, last week against Tampa Bay, who gives up like 50 points a game, what did they only put up 16, you know what I mean?
And yep.
Houston's defense is 10 times better than Tampa Bay's.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Very true. So the next game on our slate, speaking of Tampa Bay, they're the team playing in this one. We have the Buccaneers on the road. They are 3-6. Ryan Fitzpatrick back at the helm, taking on the Giants, who helped us win some money last week. We had their spread, and they finally got to their second win of the season. They are 2-7. It is at MetLife Stadium, so I said Tampa Bay by 1 point in this one. What say you, Mr. Duran?
I have the Giants -1.
You boxed me out on this one. Very nice guess. It is the Giants by 1.5 points in Vegas. Kind of a weird number, but I mean, that's what Vegas thinks. I don't know how they got there, but Giants favored in this one at home just by a smidge, but with the 3-point home field advantage, they think Tampa Bay is a better team, and I agree, so I thought that they would be favored. But yeah, this game, from a daily fantasy perspective, I think this is going to be an absolute shootout. Two terrible defenses and some pretty good offenses. I mean, Barkley and Odell there, Evan Ingram, maybe he can get going. And then Tampa Bay has been really hot all season long, except for last week. Washington sort of shut them down. The over-under is the second highest on the slate. It's 52 points. So I have this week, man, all these games, very, very tough week. I mean, I just looked at all these games, and there's a ton that I just have, I'm just scratching my head on. I mean, there's so many of them.
There's a bunch of pick 'em games. There's a handful of games where the road team is you know, logically the favorite. And, you keep throwing out these over-unders, and you said 52, and I'm thinking, I don't see him getting 52 points. I think what we saw last week from Tampa Bay is a little bit more of who they are. They're not this team that scores 35, 40 points. They're more of this team that scores 17 to 21. There's a reason why Ryan Fitzpatrick is a backup. The NFL doesn't lie. If you're a starter, you're a starter. When you become a Case Keenum, I know I'm a Raider fan, but I live in Denver. When you're Case Keenum for a reason, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick for a reason. The reason I like San Francisco or the Giants in this game is they have a factor that Tampa Bay doesn't have, and that's Saquon Barkley. And I think this is the kind of game where Saquon Barkley can control it on the ground and through the air to where the Giants control the game and the tempo and the pace.
I like it, man. I like it a lot. So much so that I completely agree with you. I have a $300 10-point teaser this week, and I am taking the Giants plus 8.5 as one of the legs of my tease. They made us money last week. This team, they're 2-7, but on paper, you know, they're really not that bad. I mean, they have a ton of weapons on offense. I know Eli's just been terrible, and that's what's holding them back. But you know, he showed a little bit of old Eli last game on Monday night, and got a game-winning drive for them. And then Tampa Bay on the defensive side of the ball is just atrocious. So I just don't think I trust Fitzpatrick on the road. I like the Giants in this one. They can lose by 8 points, and you still get the victory. So it sounds like you like
this. You still get the victory. That's a good tease right there. That's a real good tease.
I think so, too. So are you taking the spread straight up in this one, then?
No, you know what? Now that you say plus eight with a tease, I would double down on that with you as well. That's a real good play right there. That's why I kind of asked you earlier. I'm more of a line better over-under. I don't really understand the tease part. But after listening to your show and you explaining it a little more right now, that's a great play right there. I would definitely follow you in that.
Now, I'm on the other side of you, man. I also thought about making a play on the over 52 because I just think both of these defenses are really, really bad and both of the offenses are really, really potent. And, I mean, the over-under shows that. You seem to be on the other side, but I think that this could be just an absolute shootout to me with Eli at home. If it was on the road, Eli on the road, I wouldn't take it, but I think that this game can go over 52 in my opinion.
It could, but here's why I don't believe it will. Is each guy is capable of throwing 3 to 4 touchdowns a game. They're also capable of throwing 3 to 4 interceptions a game as well.
Very
so
true.
You're sitting there early and it's 10-7 at half, and Now you're sitting there like, well, we need 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's all I like in this game. They are one of the legs in my tease. I was thinking of over-undering, throwing that in a tease as well. But, you know, I think I like the spread. The Giants showed last week that they're not a one-win team. I mean, they're out of all the 2-3-win teams, I think they're probably the best. They have so much talent on both sides of the ball. And, I mean, Pat Shurmur was a really good offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year. I think they figure out a way to beat Tampa Bay in this one.
I agree.
The next game on our slate, a AFC South divisional matchup, we have the 5-4 Tennessee Titans taking on the Colts, who are 4-5. Last week, the Titans, very nice win. I want to say that I'm very proud of calling that upset last week. If you listened to our show, I said the Titans will beat the Patriots on Sunday, and they beat them handily, 34-10. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, but like we said, with all these teams who have won 5 or 6, the Patriots were bound to lose a game in one of these weeks. So I thought the Titans, with a little revenge game narrative of several players they have, and Mike Vrabel being a former Patriot himself, I thought they could upset them, and they did. And then the Colts have been pretty hot. They've won 3 straight, 4-5. Still not out of the playoffs yet. So it is in Indianapolis. I said Indy by 2.5.
I got Indy by 2.
Looks like I boxed you up by 0.5 here. They say Indy by a field goal. It is the Colts by 3 at home. that line will probably move a little towards Tennessee later in the week, I assume. So let's dissect this game a little bit. Divisional matchup, very important game for both teams. I like the Titans quite a bit in this one on the road. They've off the bye week, man. They've been hot. They beat Dallas by 14. They just beat the Patriots by 24. I'm not sure that Indy deserves 3 points. I know they're at home and they think both teams are pretty even, but Tennessee's been really hot. Their defense has really, they've held the Patriots to 10 points. I mean, what more can you say? So I kind of like Tennessee in this one. What about you?
Well, here's why I like the Colts. The Colts actually have the rookie of the year in all football. He won't win the award because he's an offensive lineman, but Quentin Nelson's addition to the team, Andrew Luck, one of the most hit quarterbacks over the last 3 or 4 years, has not been sacked in 4 games. So a clean Andrew Luck with a pocket to step up into, and he's proven why he's the number one overall pick a few years back, and he's proven why he's a franchise-type quarterback. And I think this is just another game where if the line holds up and Andrew Luck stays clean, this is another game where, you know, the Colts are back to where they were when, you know, when Luck was taken into the playoffs. And I think this is another win for Indy, especially at home.
I really like the logic behind it. You know, I can't poke any holes in it. Quentin Nelson has been an absolute monster for them. He absolutely bulldozed someone in the Jacksonville game last week. It was
Barry Church.
Yeah, yep, he just absolutely demolished him. Total alpha dog move. So I'm a huge Quentin Nelson fan. You're right. He won't win the award, but he definitely deserves some credit for turning the Colts around, because they were, I think they had 4 wins all of last year, and now they're at 4 wins. So for me, you know, you made some great points in Tennessee. It's a divisional matchup. You really don't know what's going to happen in these games. So I'm going to stay away from this one, from the spread. The over-under is 48. Seems about right. So for me in this one,
seems about right, yeah.
Nothing in my tease or anything. So what about you? Do you like any bets in this game?
No, I don't. Even that over-under, it's a game that could be under, and it's also, you know, if Mariota and Tennessee's offense gets going with Henry and Lewis both running the ball and Corey Davis, you know, having a good game, Andrew Luck can put up, you know, 24 to 30. If they put up another 24, then you're going over the 48. And it doesn't really look like Indy's defense is really that good yet. So they can, you know, get in a shootout. So I really just, this is a great game to watch, not really a good game to put any money on.
Couldn't agree more. I'm staying away from this one. It just seems like a classic stay away. Both of these teams, I think if you look at prior years, Mariota versus Luck, I think they're pretty even. You know, Indy will get one at home, and then Tennessee may sneak one out at home as well. So I don't really know what to think about this game. So I'm just going to stay away. Alrighty, the next game on our slate, we have the 6-3 Carolina Panthers taking on the exact opposite, 3-6 Detroit Lions at Ford Field in Detroit. Carolina, they got smacked on Thursday Night Football by the Steelers. They lost 52-17. Sort of a wake-up call for them, I think. A lot of people, there was a lot of money on Carolina to possibly upset them, but that was not the case. They looked pretty bad. I even saw a clip, it's been shared on Twitter, one of their linemen fell asleep at the end of the game on the sideline. Pretty embarrassing game all around for them. And then the Lions...
I don't blame him, I think I fell asleep too.
Yeah, fair enough. And then the Lions are on the other end of the spectrum. You know, they've just, after losing Golden Tate, they've just been terrible. They're 3-6, have dropped 2 straight. To division opponents in the Vikings and Bears. It is at home for Detroit, but I think Carolina is a much better team. I said Carolina by 6 points.
I had Carolina minus 3.
Very close guess for you. You got you beat me out on this one. It is Carolina by 4 in Vegas right now. So let's talk about this game for a sec. Like I said, I'm going super, super light, the least amount of money that I bet all season long. But I only have a tease and then one $100 flyer. But another tough game for me. I mean, Carolina just looked lost on the road. and they lost by over 30 points, and this is a team that was 6-2 coming into the game, so pretty embarrassing for them. And then Detroit, I mean, they play much better at home, but I don't know. Matthew Stafford really kind of looks lost without Golden Tate there. Their offensive line has been terrible the last several weeks. I don't know what to do with this game. It's just another game that I got scratching my head. I mean, of course I want to take Carolina. They're a better team. Cam's playing in a dome. But I think Detroit, there's possible upset potential here. What do you think?
Well, I think what we saw in the Carolina-Pittsburgh game was more of who Pittsburgh is, not really more of what Carolina is. And then Pittsburgh and Detroit, they're two contracting teams. Pittsburgh is levels, you know, above Detroit. And like you said, Cam Newton in a dome. Detroit making the trade of Golden Tate, and their offense really not clicking since the trade. And just the overall, you know, the bad habits that Matthew Stafford has had throughout his career, he has not fixed them. He is still the same quarterback. It doesn't matter at the end of the year what his stats look like. The team is just not winning. I would take Carolina in the 4 points.
Yeah, I can see it for sure. I mean, Carolina should win this game handily, but, you know, Stranger things have happened. The Falcons, they lost by like 18 points to the Browns last week, and of course I had them in my tees, so I'm a little gun-shy on NFC South teams right now. The over-under in this game is pretty high at 52, so anything that you got your eye on in this game?
I mean, that over-under is kind of interesting both ways. Obviously, regardless of what you think of Matt Stafford, Detroit has no one to put up, you know, some big 28, 35-point games. And with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, if both of those guys are, you know, in the zone, and I can't think of the wide receiver out of Carolina, the young guy that they've been trying to get involved, that can easily be, you know, a 42 to 35 game, which is obviously blows away the 52-point spread. But it can also be one of those games where Carolina's defense, not as good as they, you know, were in years past, but they still have a few cornerstones like Luke Kuechly in the middle where they completely can shut down Detroit's offense. And, you know, it's one of those 24 to 17 games. So the over-under is interesting, and I wouldn't know which way to lean. I'd probably lean it being a shootout since it's in Detroit and, you know, with the 52 points over.
Carolina's money line, they are minus 275, Detroit plus 210 for the victory. So yeah, nothing I really like here. I mean, Carolina should win this game, but I don't know, four is a weird number because you still need a touchdown, but you can't get a field goal, so I'm staying away from this game.
Okay, let's move on then.
Absolutely. The next game on our slate, 2-4-5 teams matching up here. We have the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Falcons of Atlanta in the stadium hosting the Super Bowl there. So it is in Atlanta. Dallas, I don't know what the hell is going on with them. They will lose to the Titans at home. Then they just beat the Eagles on the road, defending Super Bowl champs. There was a lot of money on the Eagles, minus, I think it was 6, just to blow them out. And I don't know what to think of this Cowboys team. I mean, Jason Garrett holding on to his job by a thread. They are so inconsistent. I don't know what the hell to think about them. And then Atlanta, I mean, they started off slow, 1-4. They won 3 straight, but yet dropped a game to the Browns last week. Of course, the one game I bet them, they lose. So thank you, Falcons, for that. So I don't know. Again, another close spread here. I'm saying Atlanta by 4.5 points.
I have Atlanta by 3.5.
You got me on this one, too. You're doing much better this week than me. Atlanta by 3 is the spread. So Atlanta by a field goal is what Vegas thinks. These two teams matched up, so there is a little history. They played each other last year. Atlanta destroyed them and really sort of dominated their offensive line. So, this two even teams, they have the same exact record, both NFC teams. The over-under is 47.5, sounds about right. I mean, I don't, I really, I mean, this is a sports betting podcast. We usually know what we're talking about, but this week, man, there's just a ton of tough matchups. So,
I like the Falcons to cover that three. They're playing at home. Julio Jones is now finding the end zone, which means Matt Ryan will be more comfortable getting him the ball. And they prove it. You know, if Julio's in the game and Julio's scoring, they can put up a lot of points. I mean, unless the only way Dallas does anything is if Ezekiel Elliott has one of his big games. I mean, I love Amari Cooper. He came from my Raiders. I know the talent's there, but there is something mentally not there with him. He does not have the fire, the passion that, you know, to be a Julio Jones. He has the skills to be Julio Jones. He doesn't have Julio Jones' passion. And I think Atlanta covers a three at home with Julio Jones having a big game.
Yeah, I like it. But, you know, a lot of podcasts out there, sports betting articles last week, I mean, you see the same thing. Like, oh, Philly only gets six? The Cowboys are terrible, and then they just blow it. So the Cowboys have been, like we said last week on the pod, Cowboys have been a very tough team to bet on and against. They are very inconsistent. They are really good at home, yet they beat Philly on the road last week. I really don't know what to think of them. So they're kind of like Washington for me. I don't like betting on Cowboys games. So I have nothing in this game. I also don't like watching the Cowboys, too, because Dak Prescott's been terrible. So I won't be watching this game or betting on it. But if you like anything, we can talk about it. Do you have any official plays in this one?
No official plays. Oh, not as of today. I'm more of like a Sunday 10:45. I'll put in my pick.
Very nice, very nice. The next game on our slate, another division matchup, two AFC North teams. We have the 5-4 Bengals taking on the 4-5 Baltimore Ravens. The big thing in this one, man. The long-awaited debut. Lamar Jackson is in as quarterback for the Ravens. It is official. Joe Flacco is out. So I'm excited, man. I cannot wait to watch. This is the game that I will be watching on the noon slate. I cannot wait for it, Lamar Jackson. Can't wait to see what he does for that offense because, I mean, I think Ravens fans are just done with Joe Flacco. I think enough is enough. They have a losing record after starting off hot, so I think it's time. So
hey, he got him a Super Bowl. So
that's true.
I mean, they can be mad as they want, but hey, they got their ring, and you know, not everyone plays forever. So and you don't draft a quarterback in the first round and not play him unless you're the Denver Broncos and Paxton Lynch is sitting there. You know what I mean?
Very true.
That does change my what I had on my line though. I know it had been, you know, discussed, but I didn't know it was official yet, so.
Yep, all signs pointing to it, so the line, I'm thinking Baltimore by 1.5 points is what I said.
Okay, I'll do Bengals by 1.5.
The actual spread on this game is a pick'em is what Vegas says, a PK for this one, so they're giving a slight lean to Cincinnati since Baltimore. It is a PK for them being at home. Now, in this one, when you see rookie quarterbacks, you really never know what's going to happen. I mean, this year is a perfect example. I mean, Sam Darnold, his first throw of his NFL career was a pick six. I mean, Baker has been sort of shaky. I mean, he had a great game last game. Josh Allen has been pretty atrocious when he's played. Josh Rosen has also been bad. So, I don't know. This rookie class was very highly touted. And yet it looks like it's just trash. I mean, there are just not a lot of good QBs in this rookie class. They've just been, I mean, I know we got to give them some time, and a lot of them play on bad teams with bad coaching. But this one, I really, really want to see Lamar Jackson under center and see what he can do for them. What are your thoughts on this game? Are you excited to watch Jackson play?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited to watch Jackson play. His time at Louisville, he was very electric. You know, Michael Vick-esque. And the thing I like about this game is, about Jackson's situation, is he probably has the best team on paper amongst the, you know, all the rookie quarterbacks. And they're picking the right defense. Cincinnati's defense has been getting bulldozed these last 2 weeks. So if there's any defense besides the Raiders defense, Baltimore and Lamar Jackson are in the perfect position for him to make his professional debut as a starter. Just with the way, I mean, Drew Brees, I know he's not Drew Brees, but Drew Brees put up almost 50 points. I'm sure Lamar Jackson could throw in 2 to 3 touchdowns if he's on.
I could not agree more, but, you know, like you just said before we got started, you know, I mean, there's going to be some jitters for him. I mean, he's literally been given the keys to the Ferrari right now. I mean, he is the quarterback of an NFL franchise. There's a lot of hype coming in. There's a lot of pressure on him. And Baltimore, I mean, a lot of people love their Ravens there in Baltimore. And so there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And so I'm curious to see how he handles it in his first game. And his first game is a divisional matchup. So very, very going to be extremely interesting this weekend. So, however, you know, I can't throw any money on a rookie QB. I just really can't. I just have to see a little bit first. So the over-under is 45. It sounds about right. I really don't know what to think about this game. I just am, as a fan, I just want to watch Jackson play. That's all I like in this game.
Well, a lot of it depends on if A.J. Green is playing this week. I haven't looked at the injury report. If A.J. Green is playing this week, that would make him a favorite in my eyes. Just because that's a big part of their offense. And if their offense isn't clicking and their defense is constantly on the field, you know, they're going to give up a lot of points. But if A.J. Green is out there, you know, able to control the field, able to put up points, I would favor Cincinnati. And especially in a pick'em game or 1 or 2 points, I would take Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the better record. They're 5-4, and then Baltimore is 4-5. But, you know, the Baltimore defense is still really, really good. They've been basically, besides the Bears, the best defense all season long. So, you know, yeah, I don't really know where to go. It's a divisional matchup. We've seen them be quite the shit show this year in divisional games. So you never really know what's going to happen. So for me, classic stay away. I don't want anything to do with this game.
I'll stay away with you.
That sounds like a plan to me. The next game on our slate, you're there in Denver. We got your Broncos. I know you're not a Broncos fan, but you usually have some good insight on your team here in Denver. So they are 3-6.
Yes.
Taking on the Chargers of Los Angeles, 7-2. So Denver, they started off 2-1, 2-0, and you know, they look to really be possibly a sneaky sleeper candidate in the AFC, but it quickly went down the drain. They are 3-6 now. Case Keenum has not looked good. He has more picks than touchdowns. And then the Chargers, they've really, I mean, if it wasn't for the Chiefs in their division, they would run away with that division. But the Chiefs have been killing it as well. So the Chargers are 7-2 at home. I said Chargers by 8.
I had Chargers -5.
I actually got the W on this one. I was very close. It is Chargers by 7.5, according to Vegas right now. So, yeah, they're giving him more than a touchdown in this one. And last week, you know, that was probably one of my proudest calls on our 8 or 9 podcasts that we've had this year. The Titans upsetting the Patriots, favored by 7. It was my trap game of the week. I called it, and this week, I see it now. I think this is a total trap game. I think the 3-6 Broncos end the 6-game winning streak for the Chargers. I have the Broncos in my tease here, 10-point teaser. It bumps them from 7.5 to +17.5. So they can lose by 2 touchdowns and a field goal, and you still get the victory. I see a total trap game in this one. Denver, they haven't looked great, but this is a divisional matchup. They sort of want to stop the Chargers' run here, play for pride, and the defense is starting to look a little better. I think the Broncos win this one. What do you think?
Well, I can never pick the Broncos. Even when they were winning the Super Bowl, I couldn't pick the Broncos. here's where I'll agree with you, though, is as a Raider fan, and watching them play San Diego or at Los Angeles last week, the Raiders controlled the game the first half of the game. The Raiders easily could have been up, you know, it was 10-7 at half. The Raiders easily could have been up in that game 17-3, though. They squandered a first and goal on the one. They settled for another field goal, and then they fumbled the ball away. Three possessions where they easily could have scored touchdowns on, and they came away with 3 points. But a lot of the credit that is San Diego also has a great defense. And Joey Bosa practiced today. It was limited, but you still have, you know, 3 days for him to heal up and make his season debut. Obviously, he won't be out there the majority of the snaps, but a guy like Joey Bosa bolsters any defense. And all it takes is one pass rush where a strip sack fumble, and you're off to the house for six, or, you know, you're already up three, and, you know, you seal the game. But I would take Denver in this game with the points.
Yeah, 7.5.
Only because, yes, only because I watch Denver a lot, and regardless of how much I hate them, they don't, you know, last year they were getting blown out. This year they're losing a lot of close games, and I can still see them losing, but I can only see them, you know, they can lose, you know, a game by 3 or 4 points.
Right, and they were basically, out of all the teams the Chiefs have played, other than the Patriots' loss, Denver gave them the hardest competition for that Chiefs offense. So the Chargers have looked, I mean, their record is 7-2, but they're winning games by like 3 points, 7 points. They're not blowing teams out like a normal 7-2, 8-2 team. So I just think, you know, one of the storylines, they're also in your division, so I'm sure you watch a lot of Philip Rivers play. The one thing I keep seeing when I watch film of him and watch the highlights is he really looks old, man. Like the ball just does not have the same zip that it did when he was a spry 25-year-old. Like the touchdown pass to Keenan Allen. I mean, you watched the game last week. It just the balls are so easily, they it looks like they can get picked in just a second. So I don't know.
Yeah, and he has that classic shot put throw now, where everything he throws, it looks like he's pushing it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you said, everyone sees it, but the team's still 7-2, and it's because they have a game changing player in Melvin Gordon. You know, someone who can run between the tackles, someone who can run outside of the tackles, and someone who is a threat in the passing game. And so that keeps defense honest. You can't drop your linebackers to cover the underneath routes on these wide receivers, because Melvin Gordon is going to sneak out of the backfield on a wheel route, or they're going to put him in motion and have him cross in the field, and he's going to eat you alive underneath. So he is what is keeping Philip Rivers, you know, as a good quarterback right now. Is he keeps the defense honest. Philip Rivers knows this, and, you know, Philip Rivers isn't the gunslinger that he used to be anymore. He's smart now. He knows how to get rid of the ball, and he knows where to put it. And, I mean, that's why I can't go against him. I've seen him for many years, and they're 7-2 for a reason. Denver's 3-6 for a reason.
Yeah, very true. Absolutely. Like you said, Case Keenum, he's still Case Keenum, man. And they paid him like $20 mil to be Case Keenum, and, you know, 3-6 is what you're going to get. So in this one, I really like Denver to upset them. I would really recommend a money line. They're plus 275 money line, which is pretty juicy. And I feel like it's a divisional matchup. They sort of want to knock the Chargers off the pedestal. I think they will win this game on Sunday. That's my trap game of the week is what I see.
And I also like Denver, but I like them with the points.
For sure. 7.5 is the line, so they can lose by a touchdown and you still win, so I like that as well. The next game on our slate, we got to your team, unfortunately, the 1-8 Oakland Raiders taking on an equally abysmal NFC team in the 2-7 Arizona Cardinals. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about quite possibly the best game of the entire NFL season in Chiefs-Rams. This quite possibly could be the worst game of the NFL season. Oh boy. It's already week 11, and these teams combined have 3 wins. It's just an awful game. I'm not going to watch this game. I feel bad for you, because you probably will watch this game, because your team is involved. So let's
don't forget the Raiders and Browns. The Raiders and Browns game was like 45-42. So there's hope.
Yeah. when two terrible teams get together, you know, it's usually a shootout. So This one, it is in Arizona, so I gave a slight nudge to Arizona. I said Cardinals by 3, just a field goal in this one.
I have the Cardinals by 4.
You called Kobe on this one. It is exactly Cardinals by 4, right on the head. Nice guess, Eric. Very solid.
I mean, the Raiders still win by 21, but Vegas has Cardinals by 4, so right. We got to go with that.
Right.
I mean...
So let's dissect this game a bit, unfortunately, but we'll do it anyway just for the listeners. You know, Oakland, I kind of want to talk about them for a second because it's just been an absolute disaster there for John Gruden. I mean, I saw a Bleacher Report article. I forget who it was or if they even named the player who said it, but he said, "I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, this is a terrible place. The players, everybody's miserable. Derek Carr cried in a game this year. Like, it's just been terrible, terrible for Raiders fans like yourself. I mean, what do you think about the franchise right now? Because it's probably the most. They do have several first round picks next year, which is a silver lining. But Gruden just three first round picks
and $80 million in cap."
And they're on their way to Vegas, so we'll see. But this team just, the players just look miserable. Jordy Nelson's talking about retirement. I mean, what do you think about the team this year?
Jordy Nelson should retire. He can't even shake a Polaroid anymore. So I don't get why he's upset. I mean, the dude had one good game against Miami, but if you go back and watch the film, it's pretty much he's beating the zone. And at the time, Miami went to 3-0. But as you can see now, they're like 4-5. That was more, you know, Oakland was a worse team than they are. But my forte into going for 2 was, you know, I really didn't have no reason to watch the games anymore. So my reasoning for watching the games now is, you know, Jeff gave me, you know, the opportunity to, like you stated before, you know, I'm a boxing writer. You know, I've been a boxing writer for 15 years. Jeff gave me the platform to get rid of my emotions on paper and pen instead of on the walls in my home. And what I said in my first article, my debut article for going for 2 was, if you go back and start in the 2013 draft up until now, the Raiders have had 4 legit picks: Carr, Mack, Cooper, and Gabe Jackson. I know John Gruden has taken a lot of heat for what's happening in the season. But he came into a team that had a depleted roster. We were relying on veterans who were on their last leg, guys like Reggie Dawson, key free agents like Bruce Irvin, who really didn't pan out, a guy like Kelechi Osemele, who we paid a lot of money to, and people wonder why Carr's always on his back, is because in the passing game, Osemele can't block his shadow. But we have 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years. We're going to have between $70 and $80 million worth of cap space this upcoming year. Who knows what we'll have the following year? And hopefully, when we get to Vegas, and you know, big hope, you know, with all this gambling, you know, the Raiders will be ready to compete in 2 years.
Yeah, I truly feel your frustrations there. I mean, this is just—it's been a catastrophe this year. I mean, I know Gruden, you're right, has gotten a lot of heat. My two thoughts are on the Raiders are this. And I want to hear your thoughts on it. So, 2 years ago, this team was 12-4. Derek Carr was up there in Vegas as an MVP favorite. He got hurt, and of course, the playoffs didn't go as planned. They got destroyed by the Texans. And Jack Del Rio was basically coach of the year. I mean, he took a Raiders team that was projected to win like 7 or 8 games, and he brought them to the playoffs. And then last year, I mean, it was a shaky. They had a lot of injuries. They finished 6-10, and then Jack Del Rio loses his job. Why did that happen? Why was Jack Del Rio let go after 2 years? He got them to 12-4. Like, I don't understand how he lost his job to Gruden. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, the main thing with Jack Del Rio is he fired Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator, for Todd Downing. Todd Downing was supposed to be this brilliant mind, the next Sean McVay as far as offensive-minded coach. And now Todd Downing isn't even in the league. He's coaching, like, high school Christian football wherever he lives. That was the main thing. The second thing was he lost the locker room. Guys like Michael Crabtree, I mean, I obviously I watch every game. Amari Cooper is disinterested. Michael Crabtree was a cancer last year. Bruce Irvin is the Donald Trump of NFL football when it comes to Twitter. Marquette King, you know, everyone made a big deal of him getting cut. He's no longer in the league. Denver cut him because of his shenanigans. It was just, like I stated earlier, it was a depleted roster. That 12-4 season was everything came together. Mack had one of the best seasons ever by a defensive player. And Derek Carr was really great because Bill Musgrave was a quarterback, his quarterback coach, his offensive coordinator. You know, he brought him up through the organization. He taught him. He let him become his own player. He let him make audibles at the line of scrimmage. Derek Carr was comfortable with Bill Musgrave, and Jack Del Rio screwed that up when he let him go. And that's pretty much where the downfall was. It was when they let Bill Musgrave go, and Derek Carr lost a little bit of confidence, and Todd Downing was just horrible. And then, like I said, you had a mixture of guys like Bruce Irvin, Crabtree, Marquette King. I mean, look, we'll see what Irvin does in Atlanta. Crabtree hasn't done anything for Baltimore, and Marquette King is out of the league. Those are the type of guys that were leaders, you know, in the Raiders organization, and they're not proven leaders. They're cancers to the locker room.
Very well said. I agree. The one other thing I wanted to talk about before we talk about sort of the spread in this game is that Derek Carr got paid an enormous contract at the time. It was the biggest in NFL history. Now, if the Raiders want, they can cut him next year, and it will only cost them $7 million. Do you think that Carr is a Raider by the end of next year?
He has to be a Raider by the end of next year. There's if you look at the draft, there isn't any franchise-level quarterbacks. People are going to look at Justin Herbert from Oregon, and, oh, you know, he's a top-rated quarterback. He's not Andrew Luck. You know, like I said in my first article, if we're going for two, franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. Derek Carr proved that he's a franchise quarterback. Derek Carr took a team 12-4. Derek Carr was an NFL MVP in the NFL MVP conversation. They might go to the AFC Championship game that year. You know, the things, you don't play that good. You know what I mean? He's not Case Keenum, where he was in Minnesota. Minnesota had a great defense. Every good play that could bounce your way, bounce your way. No, he's a great quarterback. It's just, there's no team. You know what I mean? His line isn't as good as it used to be. Marshawn Lynch is an old running back. Amari Cooper was disinterested. I mean, what's he supposed to do? I mean, his biggest weapon is Jared Cook, who's a great player, but it ain't like anyone trying to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. I don't know what they're going to do. I honestly, this might come as a shock to you as a Raiders fan, but I think that there's some serious talk that they will cut him and save that contract and just eat the $7 million and try and rebuild with somebody else or get a free agent there or something. But it's been talked about on the dark depths of Raiders Reddit and stuff like that. So
I know it's been talked about, but the reason why I don't believe it, and the reason why I'm not running with it, is because if you go back to when John Gruden had his show, the quarterback camp with John Gruden, you go watch every episode of that show. When Derek Carr was on that show, John Gruden was in love with the kid.
I suppose. Well, it's been a disaster so far, so we'll see if Gruden even makes it to Vegas. I mean, his contract is kind of hard to get out of at this point. But so in this one, Arizona, they've been just as bad almost. I mean, they're 2-7, so they are at home in this one. The over-under is 40.5. I will tell you right now, I'm not going to watch this game. I'm not going to bet on this game. I'm not going to do anything. This game doesn't exist to me. I don't even register it on the slate. I'm not going to watch a second of this one. But do you like any bets in this one? Are you taking your Raiders?
No, I will. I mean, if there was any game to bet, it was a San Francisco game where I lost $200. I figured Oakland would be able to beat a third-string quarterback making his, you know, debut in the NFL, and they lost by 30-some points. So at this point, I mean, you can call me whatever you want, but if we're talking money, the only way I'm betting on a Raider game is for them to lose and not cover the spread. But I don't know if I would take the Cardinals at -4. This could be one of those games where the Raiders still lose, but, you know, Arizona kicks a field goal, you know, with time running out, and, you know, you're down because you took the 4 points. But as over-under, I don't even want to listen to it because Oakland is averaging, 4.5 points his last two games. And Josh Rosen looks like, you know, after last week's performance, he looks like he's putting it all together. I think he's the most talented quarterback of the five that were drafted in the first round this year. And I'm hoping he has one of those rookie-type games, but I want to stay away from this game as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals actually looked pretty good last week against the Chiefs. I mean, they even covered the 17-point spread. Did not see that coming. I didn't have any bets on it just because of that. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs took the Cardinals seriously, and that's a big reason why. And they benched Kareem Hunt a little bit for Spencer Ware several times. So I don't know what to think of either of these teams right now. They're just bad. I have no idea what's going to happen in this one.
I agree with you.
The next game on our slate, I feel like if Philly had won last game, this would have been a really fun matchup, but, I mean, they just lost to the Cowboys. We don't know what to think of the Eagles right now. They are 4-5.
Exactly.
Coming into New Orleans at the Superdome, they are 8-1. They are basically the best team in the NFL right now. They upset the Rams and are just destroyed the Bengals last week. So, in this one, I mean, Philly... just a terrible case of Super Bowl hangover for them. It's just been an absolute catastrophe so far this year. 4-5. The Redskins are leading that division. The Cowboys have the same record as them. It's not been good. They've had to start Nick Foles in two games. So I don't know. This team has been very hard to bet on as well. I mean, they will have a great game against the Giants, then lose to the Cowboys, lose to the Vikings. I just don't know what to think of these guys. So. New Orleans is the best team in the NFL right now. I said Saints by 9 points.
I had Saints by 8.
I called my shot on this one. It is exactly New Orleans by 9 right now in Vegas. They say a little more than a touchdown, so that's pretty generous against the Super Bowl champs of last year. But, you know, they've deserved it. I mean, Philly has looked very average this year, and New Orleans is playing with a vengeance right now. They're clicking on all cylinders. Kamara, Thomas, Breeze. It's just fantastic football to watch. For this one, I mean, I wanted to find a tease in this game because this will be the one that I'm going to be watching on the 3 o'clock slate. But I don't know, man. New Orleans just has been just demolishing teams, putting up 40 every game, and Philly just looks disinterested. So I don't know what to think of this one. The over-under is the highest on the slate other than the Rams Chiefs at 57 points. Anything catch your eye on this one?
I mean, I like the Saints to cover the 9. This is Drew Brees signed a 2-year contract. This is his swan song. And he's going to go out and try to break every record possible. Obviously, he's always been a great quarterback. He has a number one type receiver in Thomas. He has a scat back in Alvin Kamara that can run and catch. He has a bulldozer in Mark Ingram who can, you know, control the tempo of the game, control the clock, you know, get those short yardage, those third and ones, those fourth and inches to where they keep the ball. And, man, they're just rolling right now. Like you said, Philly isn't looking good. I mean, Philly can easily go up and put 28 points on the board and look up and it's 42-28. You know what I mean? That's just the way the Saints are playing right now.
A part of me wants to take Philly. I mean, sort of regression towards the mean. They should be a better team than 500. But this is just, it's not the game for them. They absolutely blew the game against the Cowboys. That was a must-win for them, and now you have to play the best team in football. They're going to be 4-6 after this game, most likely. So, I mean, I just don't... It looks like they're not going to be a playoff team this year after they started off 11-0 last year, and now here we are. It's 4-6. They're having a terrible Super Bowl hangover. I don't like betting on Philly this year. They've just been really, really bad. So I've tipped my hand. I'm staying away. I do believe New Orleans will cover, but, you know, Philly, you just never know. They're hot and cold, so I don't know what to think of this game, but it's probably one of my favorite games on the slate.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely outside of Kansas City and the Rams. It's definitely the second best game to watch this week. Whether you're betting or not, whether you have fantasy football implications, a pure football fan, this is definitely the game that you should be watching on Sunday.
Absolutely. The next game, they moved it to Sunday night because Jacksonville is garbage. The my Minnesota Vikings, 5-3-1, taking on the Bears of Chicago, who are 6-3, leading that division in the NFC North there. Minnesota, they've been pretty good this year, have had a couple brutal losses, but Chicago, they've just been the surprise team this year. Matt Nagy, a favorite for Coach of the Year. Now, it is in Chicago, and the Vikings kind of didn't look great against New Orleans the other week, so I said Chicago by 3 points, just a field goal.
I had Chicago minus 2.
I actually got this one right on the money as well. It is Chicago by a field goal in Vegas right now. So let's talk about this game. It's the Sunday night game, very important game for both teams who have playoff aspirations. Now Chicago, I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm a Vikings fan. I just don't want to admit that the Bears are good because they're the one thing I wanted to talk about with this game is this is like the second game they've played 9 games. The Bears' schedule has been the easiest in football. They played Seattle. They played Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers for a half. They also played the Cardinals and almost lost that game. They're just getting. They played Detroit last week after losing Golden Tate. That was terrible. Chicago has had such an easy schedule up to this point, and yet they've still had some pretty brutal losses, pretty brutal almost losses. So I don't want to admit that they're good because their offense is just really shaky. Their defense is really just winning the games for them. And this is going to be, other than the Patriots, this Vikings team is the best team they've played all season. So if they win this game, then, you know, they're for real. This is a playoff team. I mean, there's nothing to say about it. But if they lose, I mean, we're back to square one. I mean, are the Bears actually good? So what are your thoughts on this game? Do you have any bets? What do you think?
Well, personally, obviously I have a rooting interest against the Bears in this game. We have their first round pick in Oakland. Obviously, I want a top 15 pick, not the number 25 pick. So, of course, I'm rooting for Minnesota to pull off the victory. I would hope that Chicago loses out, you know, the rest of the season, finishes 6-10, and we're sitting there with the number 1 pick and the number, you know, 8-12 pick. I think what the biggest fear in Chicago is, how good is Mitch Trubisky? How good really is he? Is he that first round, you know, franchise level quarterback, or is he middle of the pack, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton type quarterback? Yep. Obviously, it's only in his second year. He's showing that he can beat Tom Brady with 6 touchdowns in the game, and of course, he's showing that he can be, you know, Joe Flacco, or he can be Blake Bortles. I don't know if he's been that bad yet, but. Obviously, you know, but with Khalil Mack added to the defense, a young middle linebacker in Roquan Smith, you know, the defense is pretty solid. And I think it's all going to fall on, you know, just how good is Mitchell Trubisky. Now, Minnesota's a good team. You know, Kirk Cousins should be their missing piece to get back to the Super Bowl, or to get over the hump and into the Super Bowl. Obviously, in the NFC, outside of New Orleans, you know, I don't see another team who, if I'm a Minnesota fan or if I'm in the Minnesota organization, who really, you know, really, really scares me outside of New Orleans in the NFC. So this is another game where was Kirk Cousins worth the investment? And if he is worth the investment, these are the type of games Minnesota needs to win.
Preach it, man. I love it. I absolutely agree with you 100%. The thing about the NFC is that there are just two super dominant top-heavy teams in the Saints and the Rams. Both have only lost a game. Other than that, I mean, the drop-off is pretty steep. The next teams are the Bears, Minnesota, Washington. I really don't see any situation where the NFC Championship game isn't Rams-Saints. That's just my thoughts on it. Both of these teams are just killing it. Their defenses have played really well in recent weeks. So, like, the drop-off is steep to those next teams.
The Rams just lost Cooper Kupp. And, you know, I mean, he's not Julio Jones, but he's one of those guys that, you know, he's a perfect puzzle piece that makes, you know, puts a whole offensive puzzle together. So we'll see how LA looks, you know, without Cooper Kupp controlling the middle of the field.
Right, absolutely. I think that's a bigger loss than a lot of people will admit, especially the Rams and fans of the Los Angeles Rams. But, you know, I don't know. This both of these teams, the Saints and the Rams, are 9-1, and then the next favorite is, like, again, Washington, Minnesota, the Panthers, maybe. So, like, you know, I really don't know if this game, I mean, Minnesota, Chicago, both teams should sneak into the playoffs. One of them is going to win the division, and then the other will sneak in as a wild card. But like you said, man, I loved what you said. You know, Kirk Cousins was paid all that money to win this game in Chicago. So I'm kind of leaning in the Vikings in this one. So they are a part of my tease and only bet. They are the last leg here. Plus 10 up from this tease. So Minnesota is plus 13 in my tease to go along with Denver plus 17.5, and then New York plus 8.5. So they're the last leg of my tease. I only have a small $300 bet. I really just hate the slate. I kind of just want to watch Lamar Jackson play and then watch KC and the Rams on Monday night. This slate is so tough. Too many tough matchups. Very close spreads. So I don't have a lot this week, but you know I've had a fantastic season so far, so I'm not going to piss it all away in one week. So anything in this game you like?
No, I agree with you. You know, the slate this week is really tough. But Vegas is who they are, you know, because of these lines and the risks that they take. Or, you know, if they weren't good, you know, Vegas would be Reno or Atlantic City, but they're Vegas, so...
Yeah, the this game was moved to Sunday night. I really do like the matchup. Two very solid NFC North teams, but I don't know. I like Minnesota in a tease, but I don't know if they win outright. But giving Minnesota 13 points, this is really honestly besides the Patriots, this is the best team that Chicago's faced all season. I mean, their schedule has been so easy. So many cupcake games for them against like Seattle I kind of am leaning Minnesota, but yeah, they are the last leg in my tease, and yeah, Skol Vikes. We'll see what happens on Sunday. The last game on our slate is, like we said earlier, probably the best game on paper all season long. It is, if I had to bet right now, this would be my Super Bowl matchup. I have the KC 9-1, Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Rams 9-1 as well. It was in Mexico City, but the field conditions were terrible, so it has been moved to Los Angeles. So that being said, I have Los Angeles by 2.5 points in this one.
I also have them by 2.5.
Very nice way to end our podcast here. You, me, and Vegas all hit it right on the head. 2.5 points is what Vegas says, so we were all on the same page. So that's a nice way to end our show. So this game is so great. Just two high flying offenses: Patrick Mahomes versus Jared Goff, Kareem Hunt versus Todd Gurley, and then it's just going to be a great game. I'm very excited for this one, and I'm also glad that it's been moved to Los Angeles, because the Mexico City games are always something weird happens. So I like the fact that the Rams are playing at home. Now, in this one, Eric, the highest over-under I've seen...
What's the over-under, about 70?
Yeah, the highest I've seen on the slate, 64 points. I mean, the highest I've seen all season. So they believe it's going to be basically a 34-30 game. Anything in this game stick out to you on Monday night?
Shit, that over, that seems a little bit low. This has 42 42, you know, 45, 42 written all over it.
Yeah, for sure.
I might have to, you know what I mean? I mean, you're talking two teams who are, you know, averaging 35 points a game when they're on. Two high-powered offenses. It's going to be prime time, so, you know, Showtime Mahomes, you know, number one pick Jared Goff, you know, MVP candidate Todd Gurley, you know, a surprise running back Kareem Hunt, Kelce, you know, the unbelievable Tyreek Hill. Man, you know, this could be, they could, it could be 35-35 at halftime.
Yeah, for sure.
More or less, you know, more or less 35-35 at the end of the game. Obviously, the Rams' defense isn't anywhere near what people were talking about. Tlaib's already hurt. Marcus Peters is the most overrated cornerback I've seen in the last 10 years. I don't know how anyone thought he was a shutdown number one cornerback. He didn't even prove it in Kansas City. He got beat so many times. I've seen Cooper just obliterate in, you know, two or three games. I mean, Aaron Donald's, you know, legit. But Dominic Sue isn't the dominant player he was. They're relying on Brockers. And then you get to Kansas City. I mean, sometimes their defense is good and sometimes their defense isn't good. So that's why I would like to over in this game. I would stay away from the point spread because either team could win by 7 points and either team can win by a field goal. So 2 points is a little too low for me to want to take 2 points in a game like this.
So I like your analysis there. My prediction on this game is that Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game just because both of these teams are very, it's basically the two best teams in football other than the Saints. I don't know who's going to win this game, but I don't think it's going to be close. I just think one of the teams is going to outplay or figure out the other schemes really well. And I honestly don't know who that's going to be, but I don't think this is a close game. I think the whoever wins is going to get like, they're going to win by like 10 or 14 points. I really just, I don't know why Vegas has, I mean, of course, they're both very, very even opponents, but I don't like the spread on this one either. I'm with you. So I don't either
because this is easily, you know, whoever has the last ball scores a touchdown in a game that's already tied. And there you go. You're sitting, the team wins by seven. And I mean, people say, you know, 7 points is a blowout in the NFL. It's not a blowout if it's 35-35 and a team scores with 10 seconds left.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not a blowout. But that's what I see this type of game is. Even if it could be close, and then, you know, someone scores with a couple minutes, you know, left, and then their defense holds, and, you know, team wins by 7 points.
Right, exactly. So honestly, just from a betting perspective, I'm just a fan of this game. This is going to be a fantastic Monday night matchup. One of these teams is going to be 10-1 at the end of the day, so I'm very excited for this matchup. I was thinking of throwing one of these teams in a 10-point tease, but I can't. I just don't know what's good. One of these teams is going to win by more than seven.
This is a big game for the Rams. You know, if the Rams lose, you know, and then, you know, combine that with the loss to the Saints, there goes home field advantage pretty much.
Yeah,
unless the Saints have, you know, a two-game losing streak somewhere. You know, the Rams, pretty much, this is home field advantage for them in the NFC with the way New Orleans is playing.
Very good point. As well, yeah, KC, they kind of have a stranglehold on the whole AFC, so I think they're going to get home field throughout the playoffs unless something catastrophic happens. But, yeah, you're right, man. I mean, this is a huge game for the Rams, and I'm very interested to see what their offense does without Cooper Kupp there because he was playing fantastic for them all season long. Huge loss for them. So that wraps up our show. Thank you to Eric Duran for coming on, taking time out of his day, and talking, just voicing his Raiders frustrations with us there. That's always welcome on the podcast because they've just been terrible, and I feel for you, man. It's been rough there. So thanks, Eric, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Like we said, we've both hit it on the head, man. It's a very tough week, very close spreads. I just, coming into the week, I looked at the games and I was like, ugh, nothing sticks out, nothing I can parlay, tease, nothing. So I'm just going light this week. I got my $300 teaser, Minnesota +13, Denver +17.5, and the Giants plus 8.5. So that is all I got. It's either going to be I win $270 or I lose $300. No in between. So hopefully we can come.
No in between, yeah.
No in between for me. Maybe I throw a little money on games later if I lose. But I we've had a great year so far. We're up $6,300 almost on the year, so there's no reason to throw it all in on one week. I just don't like the week very much, so I'm playing soft.
Well, man, I appreciate the time, and you ever need anyone, just hit my line, and I'd be more than welcome to come back.
Absolutely. We'll definitely always looking for guests on the show, because as I've seen before in the past, people flake out all the time, so we'll definitely have you on later in the year. So thanks, Eric, so much for coming on. So have a great rest of your night, man.
All